whatever, and we want it seen. God wants us seen. God wants us seen. He's doing this so He'll have a conspicuous, listen, a conspicuous witness in a lost world. A conspicuous light in a dark world. God is in the business of saving people's souls. We are not here by accident. We're not here by happenstance. It's not some sort of a quirk of fate. And we're not just on this ball floating with no design. God has made a design of it all. He's put it all together. He's spoken into existence. He sustains it. The stars in their courses, the moon in its course, the seasons, the sun, the moon, the stars. It's all Him. It's all His. And He says, listen, listen, I'm here, and I'm waiting on you. I'm just waiting on you. Because I understand that it's dark in your heart. I understand that the world has got a whole lot of stuff going on that fascinates. I understand that you're a little distracted, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you. Because I'm big enough to do that. You know, God could force us to believe, but He'll never do that. Jesus simply said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, I don't have a greater message than that. Jesus can give you rest. You don't have to play this game anymore of keeping up with everybody else or running as fast as you can on that little gerbil treadmill, you know. That's what we do. We just get involved and we say, I gotta go, go, go. Pretty soon we're old and our kids are launching and we're saying, what happened to the years? Then we hit our golden years and we got our gray hair or no hair, you know. We're there and we're looking at life and we look back and we say, what happened? Where did it go? And in reality, if you'd have just taken a few moments along the highway of life and thought, and said, you know, there's got to be more to it than this, it would have only made sense that there was. And then, if you would have sought Him, you'd have found Him. And then, you'd have spared your children a world of hurt. You'd have spared yourself a world of hurt. You maybe would have spared others that you know that maybe have been hurt by bad decisions. Well, you know what I'm saying. It's not about us. It's about Him. And what's interesting is, though it's not about us, it's about Him, He's all about us. He just is all about us. Do you know God loves you? Jesus said, listen, the Father Himself loves you. As if we needed to be told that. And yes, we did, because we somehow think, man, I'm such a wreck. And you are! You say, well, boy, I'm glad I came to church today. Go there. Go there in your mind. Because you can't get saved till you get lost. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom. Literally, theirs and theirs alone. You got to go there. Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. Acknowledge the fact that you can't save yourself. Acknowledge the fact that without Christ, you're lost and undone, and your sins will plunge you deeply into the abyss from which you will never return. That is not a joke. That is not a myth. That is what the Bible says. But you can be saved. And when you get to the point where you get it down and you say, okay, I understand this. If you read those Beatitudes, you'd find out it starts out with poor in spirit, and then it talks about mourning, because, man, I hate this. Oh, I feel so bad about it. And you mourn over it. And it moves on. It talks about becoming meek. Okay, I'm, you know, hungering, thirsting after righteousness is next. You know, say that, you know, I really wish I could be righteous. Really, God says if you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled. He'll help you. Not because of you, but because Jesus, He'll impart Jesus to you. And then beyond that, what happens? Becoming something meek. Oh, I understand something. I'm not going to go hit the world over the head with a 2x4 and say, you idiot, you lost, terrible sin. No, it's not about that. It's meekness. It's saying, I understand they're lost, but they're lost like I was. Meekness says, I understand, and I'm going to do everything I can to help them. With my power under control, I'm gonna get in there and help. And the Bible says you're going to become what? A peacemaker. And what's that? Jesus said, I will give you rest. Jesus is our peace, Colossians says. We make peace. We lay one hand on God as His people. Edify, build up, edifices, witnesses to the world. And we lay one hand on the lost and we say, listen, y'all can get together and you can be excited and have a future and a hope. Let me introduce you to my friend. Because he can save you. He can help you. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. It's about edifying one another. But once we've been edified, we've got to move forward and become a body. And then it says, once they became edified, the Bible says, then they walked in verse 31 in the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean they were in trembling. It means that they were in respect. That means everywhere they went, they thought, you know, I wonder what God would think about that. Not what would Jesus do, but is my Father happy with me? I don't want to make it too antiseptic with this what would Jesus do thing, because frankly, Jesus would just walk on the water. I don't know if I can do that. But I do know this. I do know this. That when I'm triumphing, He's happy. When I'm just simply triumphing, He's happy. He's smiling. He promises me that that's true. You see, the Word of God tells me that as His child, He's making me better and better. There's no condemnation, that He's working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when I cooperate with that inward working, Paul says, I strive according to the inward working, which works in me mightily. When I begin to do that, I feel His pleasure. You may have seen that movie years ago about Eric Little. He was the runner, you know, Chariots of Fire. You know, we all know this theme song. Now, we got that thing going on in mind. And what we see is in there, there's a culmination where his sister's thinking, you're backslidden, man. You aren't right with God. You aren't going out there, and you're not going to go to the China missions. You're wasting in time. What is this running stuff? And he said, huh? He says, you're right. I'm going to China. She's all great. He said, but first I'm going to run. He said, because God made me fast. And he said, I feel the pleasure of the Lord when I run. Folks, when you're doing what God designed you to do, you're going to feel His pleasure. And one of the things is just be obedient and you'll feel His pleasure. And then subsequently, you'll find your giftings, and you'll find your niche, and you'll find what God can use in your life to touch other lives. Folks, that's what we're here for. We're here by design. Not one of you is an accident. I know you might feel like it. Some of you might look like an accident. In the morning, you know, you get up, you go, wow. But the bottom line is you're not an accident. Let me just go on record as telling you. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. That God's thoughts to you toward you are more than the sand, that He numbers every hair of your head, that He knows every sparrow that falls, and if He thinks of them, how much more does He think of you? That if Solomon was clothed in all of his splendor, was not clothed like the lilies of the field, and so therefore don't take any thought of your life, what you shall eat, what you shall put on, but what you shall drink. For your Father in heaven knows you have need of these things, He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then these things will be added unto you. He will take care of you because He is mindful. The Bible says we're to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. He takes thought of us. So when we begin to live in the zone of His blessing, knowing that every time we look over our shoulder and raise an eyebrow to see if He's looking, we can be assured He is. Now, folks, you say, well, yeah, but I'm not always worth looking at. Yeah, I know, and He knows it too. You know, you ever go buy something, you got this thing, and say, oh, man, this is really cute, man. We've got to get this for the house. You know, it's got a little chink in it. What do? You put it back and get a good one, right? God picked you up, said you were cracked. God take it anyway. He knows. You've never surprised the all-knowing God. You've never shocked Him. Listen to this. You have never disappointed God. How can you be disappointed when you already know? You're not disappointing. God's working. He says, I've come around this way. I'm working on it. Okay. God never fails. He's on your team, and if you're His child and you know the book, you'll get through it. Isn't that good stuff? Can we go there today in our minds? Can we say, hey, wow, if He's for me, who can be against me? What's life all about? It's about Him, and it's about loving Him and knowing Him. And as we know Him, yeah, we go to work and we do our thing. But the fact is, God doesn't care so much about what you do and where you do it as He cares about who you're doing it with. So He's working through that work, and you begin, you know, He's so good, I better do a good job because I really want to be able to talk to Joe over here because Joe needs Jesus. And so I begin to believe right because God's for me, God's for them, God loves them, God loves me, and I begin to behave. You say, well, why? Somebody said, well, smoking? No, should I smoke? No, smoking won't make you go to hell. Did you know that? Makes you smell like you might have been there for a little while. But it won't send you that. But you know what the world does? The world looks at smoking and they see him. Where'd that come from? Did you know Spurgeon used to smoke a pipe? You know what happened? He smoked a pipe. They put up a big billboard. Smoke the brand that Spurgeon smokes. He never smoked again. Folks, listen. Salvation is not about us behaving and being good because we can't. Okay? It's not about that. It's about Christ living his life through us and out through us. That's what it's about. And when we get it down and we begin to realize it's not about watching every place our footsteps and wondering which shoe should I tie first this morning, what's God's will? Oh, just be a person. Be who you are and let God be in you and watching you and beholding you and do whatever you can to make him smile, and he will, and he'll animate your efforts. The Bible says that the godly are those who meditate in his law day and night, and that whatsoever he does shall prosper. God will give you that. Why? Because God's looking for somebody somewhere whose heart is completely his. And when he finds that person, he supports them. Can I get a witness? That's what he does. They were edified. Now, folks, we've been going over this for a year and a half. Is this what you hear in this pulpit? Isn't it? This is God. It's not about me getting up there. How are you? No, it's about God. And for a year and a half, we've been edified. But I think it's time to be multiplied. I think we can multiply. The Bible says there, it says that they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When you get that comfort thing going on, it's like, you know, crawling up in mama's lap when you were little. There's nothing like it, you know. You ever seen a baby after it's nursed? I mean, their face is just in bliss. You never saw. I thought, well, how did I get like that? Was I ever like that? I don't remember ever being like that. And funny thing is, neither do the babies. When they go, they forget being. But there was a day when you were just so blissful if you were nursed. You just, I mean, they just fall over. I mean, you could touch them with a feather, they're gone. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He makes us happy. He makes us joyful. He meets our needs. And he comforts us when we're sad. He gives us a song when we should be crying. Remember Paul and Silas there in the dungeons there? In Acts 16, the Bible says about midnight after they'd been beaten in the street, hit with whips, they're out there singing a hymn. The Bible says a great earthquake came and all the doors in this prison opened up and the jailer was getting ready to kill himself. And he says, you know, wait, don't kill yourself, we're all here. Nobody moved. Somebody commented on that. They said the reason that earthquake happened is because all those angels were really leaning in there, getting too crowded, and it just kind of busted the gates open. Folks, when God's people get happy in Jesus, it's just a good thing. It's not a weird thing. Somebody said all together, they said, you know, God desires spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. Isn't that true? We're not supposed to be weird. We're supposed to be wonderful. We ought to evoke wonder in people. It's not about what you do. About why God loves you. And when we come together, we see some things. In the Scriptures, the Bible says here that the people were multiplied and edified and so forth. And look down to verse 36. It says, now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which being interpreted, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Now, I don't know if you want to name your daughter Dorcas. I'm sorry. It's not an American kind of name, okay? But that's what her name was. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. You see what happened? She just got rose from the dead. Now, for me, I always read my Bible saying, well, why did that happen? What was that all about? I mean, there's a lot of people who die. Do you know that the prayer of faith can do a whole lot of stuff? Now, I'm not talking about the prayer of faith. I'm talking about on TV, okay? You got some weird stuff going on TV today. Can I get a witness? Got some weird stuff going on. But the New Testament church demonstrates to us some really, really neat things. One is that God wants to use people. Dorcas was not a male. She was not a preacher. She was
day. They didn't have much to support themselves. They didn't go to work, by and large. They were pretty much marrying older guys who died, you know, earlier than they did, and they might even have kids at home. And Dorcas was somebody who was somehow interjecting herself in the lives of these people. And these people felt in their hearts enough love for her to call Peter, who they knew was one of those who was with Jesus. They called him, and he heard their story. And all they pointed to was how she did good things and really ministered in this place for God. And he heard enough to be convinced that he could pray for her with all of his heart, and God just might answer. And he prayed, and he did. Here's my point. The Scripture teaches us that there are no superstars in this thing called the church. None. Some people have speaking gifts, so they get up front and they speak. But some people have serving gifts. You see, the reality is that we're all needed. We are a body. We need one another. What good is the hand without the arm? Okay? The mouthpiece without the eye. We need it all. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. He's the head. We are members one of another. And when we work and cooperate in conjunction with Him, we begin to find a really amazing things happen. You might even